Invite you to turn in your Bibles today to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. I ask you to turn there as I do. Paul writes to the church there. He was their pastor, spent 3 years in Ephesus, and writes back to them sometime later, about 10 years. And he writes this. This is his prayer for the church leaders there. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or even imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Almighty and gracious God, as we pray today, we pray that you would open this prayer of Paul up for us. He wrote it. He prayed it for the church in Ephesus. I could easily pray it for us, the same kind of things, inner strength, deep roots, and the knowledge that you love us so much. Bless this time and bless this preacher. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are appointed, which is the United Methodist word for assigned, we don't have a call system, we're assigned, we're appointed. But if you were appointed to this church to be pastor like I was almost 11 months ago now, what would your first steps be? What would be the first thing that you would concentrate on? So this is the seventh time in 31 years that I've prepared to come and serve a United Methodist Church. The first time, right out of seminary, we didn't have any idea where we were going to be. And we got that phone call on a weekday morning to go and serve a church in South Arkansas. And then last year, about this time, come here to Springdale. So there's a lot that goes on in your head and heart when you learn that you're coming to serve a new church. There's a call from the district superintendent. There's that word that says, don't tell anybody. It's going to be quiet for a little while till the churches, that church you're leaving, the church that you're going to, can have their meetings. Then you can tell the world. Now we do that through Facebook. Do that through staff parish relations committee meetings. Once all that has gone on, all that has happened, then the pastors talk and say, well, this is the experience I've had at this church. In Daniel's case, I was telling about the church he was going to, and he was telling about the church I was coming to. It was a one-on-one swap last year. And then there's the moving process. Thank God I'm not moving this year. You know how it is. You put everything that you own in a box. You hire a mover, or if you're younger, you rent a U-Haul, and there's dishes to wrap and boxes upon boxes upon boxes to pack, all those things. That's the moving process. And then there's the spiritual process in which you prepare to come to serve a church, all the things that go into that. You think about that first sermon and those first few sermons. You only have one chance to make a first impression, right? And so you want to do your very best on that first sermon. And after that first sermon, everyone kind of goes, oh, he's not as terrible as I thought he might be, right? And in the early days, you're praying prayers for you. You're praying prayers for you. right? You're saying, please, Lord, don't let me bless, don't make me mess this up. Let them like me, all those kinds of things. And then you start to pray church prayers. Are y'all with me? You think about the church that you're about to come to, and you pray for things like growth and that the Lord would bless the church, that he would strengthen the church, that he would encourage the church, and that the church would be great and powerful, right? The Apostle Paul, as far as I can understand, is not a United Methodist pastor. I don't think so. Pretty sure Methodism came out way past his time. But he did move around, right? He moved from place to place. He would start a church in a community. He would gather the followers of Jesus in a particular place. He would start the church. He would build the church up. He would teach them. He admonished them. In the case of Ephesus, he stayed there 3 years. And then he traveled to the next place and started this all over again, right? For him, there wasn't a bishop. For him, there wasn't a district superintendent. There weren't church leaders to meet an established congregation like ours. There wasn't a parsonage to view. He prayed prayers for deep concerns for spiritual growth for all his churches. He prayed that they would be encouraged. He prayed that they would be challenged. He prayed for their resolve. He prayed for their strength. In our scripture lesson for today, the seven verses that we read together just a few moments ago from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, you can find in the middle of that, now he didn't write chapters and verses. We put those on there, of course, in the early church. But he wrote to the church at Ephesus, a church that he loved, a church that he had pastored for 3 years. What I want you to understand here is that Ephesus was the second largest city of its time. Rome was first. Ephesus had about 250,000 people in and around it. Paul wrote this letter back to the church 7 years after he left, 10 years after he had started the church there. And this is his prayer for them. He writes it from a prison cell in Rome. And this is his prayer for them. He has three particular things that he prays for inner strength, for deep roots, and that they would know the love of God. May I flesh this out for us this morning? The first thing that he prays for, he says, I pray that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Holy Spirit. To be strengthened, to find strength, to discover the inner strength that God has put down deep inside them. Choir, I'm sure you've seen this in people, haven't you? Maybe with the person sitting next to you. Someone that you know has this strong inner strength that no matter what happens, it doesn't faze them. They don't get rattled. They don't get bothered. They are calm. They are cool. They are collected. And they are strong. Do any of you know people like that? I want to ask those people, where do you get that? Do you get that at Walmart? Amazon? Can you download it from a website? Nothing fazes them. Where do you get that? Well, Terry, you're right. You get that from God. And Paul is praying that for the people in Ephesus, that God would give them inner strength. Some people show outside strength, and inside they're falling apart. Paul prays for inner strength. By the way, it's one of the things that I pray for you, inner strength. Amen? Here's the second thing he prays for, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. In simple terms, Paul is praying that they will have deep roots and that they will be grounded in love. My mom died about this time last year, July the 7th. My mom used to like to say, "I'm old Conway." And I would say, "No, Mom, you're just old." And then we'd laugh. What my mom meant by that was that she was born and raised in Conway, Arkansas. And her mom and dad were born and raised in Conway, Arkansas. And their parents, her grandparents, my mom's grandparents, were born and raised in Conway, Arkansas. They had deep roots in that town. Mom could tell you all the ins and outs and the history. She was deeply rooted in Conway. Deep roots. Are you with me? When we were assigned to the Harmony Grove Church right out of seminary, we were with a bank that we had in Dallas. They had a branch in Camden, and they sold out, and then that bank sold out, and I was getting frustrated by that. Y'all ever had that experience, right? And so there was this billboard. There was this billboard in town that was advertising a bank, and I almost went with them because of this billboard. The billboard had this tree and had this deep root system, and it simply said this: "Other banks grow branches, we grow roots." What they were trying to say is they were deeply rooted in Camden, Arkansas. It was their only location. Deep roots. Are you with me? Several years ago, when I was at annual conference, I was at the Embassy Suites and was getting some breakfast, and there was Charles Crutchfield, who was our bishop at the time. I was moving that year, and I went over and said hello to the bishop and his wife, and he said to me, "John, can I give you a piece of advice?" I said, "Sure, Bishop. What is it?" He said, "Unpack all your boxes and hang your pictures on the wall." What he was trying to say to me, you're going to be there a while. It's going to be a good fit. Unpack all your boxes and put your pictures on the wall. If you come to the parsonage, all the boxes are unpacked and the pictures are on the wall. You know why? Because I want to be deeply rooted in Mountain Home, Arkansas. Right? Rooted, thank you. Rooted and grounded. I came across something I'd like to share with you. It's an illustration from the giant redwood trees found in California and Oregon. You've seen those trees, no doubt. I mean, they're huge trees. There's a sermon in the seed. The seed is the size of my nail here. It's just a very small seed. That's not the sermon I'm going to preach for you today, though. But that seed will produce a tree that is 100 foot tall and can live up to 700 years. You would think it would have a deep root system, right? Its roots go 6 to 12 feet deep, which is deep, but not as much as you would think for a tree that size. Its branches spread out 60 to 80 feet. You will not find a giant redwood by itself. It's always in a forest. Are y'all with me today? Are you interested in this? What happens? It's the root of one tree and the root of another tree grow together, and they become very strong, very strong. The bark of a redwood tree is 3 feet thick, and its roots grow together. And they say to any wind, "Come on, we got you." Rooted, grounded, growing, and strong. Paul prays that for the church at Ephesus. I pray it for us too. Amen. And then finally, he offers this prayer. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know that the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge will be yours, and that you will be filled with the fullness of God. Paul prays that for the Ephesians. I pray it for us. How far is God's love from one side to the other? How deep is it? How wide is it? How tall is it? How awesome is it? The image I have here is of a kid who goes to his mother and says, "Mama, I love you this much." Y'all know? You remember doing that? If you haven't, you should do that. Right? It is that wide and that deep and that strong. So Paul prays this prayer that we'd have inner strength, we'd have deep roots, and then we'd understand how much God loves us. Over these next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching a sermon series that I'm calling Community. Community. I'm going to be talking about how we are a community of faith. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We start today with a pastor's prayer for his church. Paul to Ephesus, John from Mountain Home, right? Next week, we get to be loud and boisterous with the Holy Spirit coming. We'll have sermons on what it means to be a Christian, the marks that you can get from doing that. And then one of these sermons I'm simply calling One Another. The Bible is full of one another's. Have you noticed that? Love one another. Encourage one another. Help one another. It's going to be a great series, and I hope that you'll love it. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we pray for the things that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. I pray for them here. For deep roots, for inner strength, for us to comprehend and understand how deep, how wide, how massive is the love that you have for us. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.